handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You are a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covan. It is 9 p.m., February 3rd, 2020, in the year of our Lord. Well. I wasn't sure what I was going to talk about on this episode, and then New Jersey Transit intervened. So today's episode, I'll just prep you for it real quick, is going to be about the state of New Jersey, its transit system, and then a little note on Bernie Sanders supporters. Now, if this sounds like something that will bore you or not be something interesting, I understand. But understand, I would not make a tiny, densely populated loser state and its transportation system the focus of an episode unless I thought I could really bring the thunder. I had to cancel tonight's recording of Making Podcasts Great Again, so that will be recorded tomorrow. I mean, it makes no difference because it wasn't going to be out until Wednesday anyway. But left the job that I have, I mean, if you can't read between the lines, it's something that I'm incredibly enthusiastic about and really mentally enriched with through whatever. But it pays the bills. It pays the bills. To live in a place, in a state I don't want to live in, trying to forget a dream that I pursued. So that's how that's going. By the way, I'm not totally off topic. I watched Joker again. I'd seen it in the theater, but I watched it again this weekend. And that is an excellent movie. And Joaquin Phoenix is really excellent in it. So part of me hopes it wins everything just because it'll really upset everybody, but there's a reason it got 11 nominations and there's a reason it made $1 billion. And watching it again, I really sort of really thought it was, I think I went into the theater just going, you're not the fucking Dark Knight. You're not fucking Heath Ledger, bro. Fuck you. And then I was like, oh, like, but then I watched it again with some distance and I was like, that movie's fucking awesome. In a dark way, but it's really well done, and obviously Joaquin Phoenix is awesome in it. Just one frustrated failed comic to another, Joaquin, good job. But you know, in the real Joker, he just moves to New Jersey and sort of withers away over the next 20 to 50 years depending on how fast he gets diabetes. But you know, the artistic license, you know, I'll allow Todd Phillips to take artistic license and do something different with the life of an angry failed comedian. So I left work early because I didn't have any work to do. And you know that thing where you just stay at work a little longer just so you feel like you're doing something? You're like, I could have slept all day today. Instead, what I did was I woke up at 10 to 5 because I couldn't sleep. And I said, you know what? Today's the day. I'm going to start losing some weight. So I went for a jog, made it about a mile and a quarter until I felt like, you know, my chest was going to explode like the big scene in Alien. So I said, okay, that's good. You're 70 pounds overweight and haven't gone for a jog in a year and a half. So we're going to call a mile and a quarter good enough for now. And then I made my way over to the gym where I lifted weights. And thanks to the nerve damage from my spine issue a year and a half ago, I'm still significantly weak in my left side. So it's good. It feels like I've had all the negatives of a stroke, but, you know, just minus the actual stroke, I guess. So went to the gym and then had a protein shake, bro. And I was like, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling healthy. Got on the train, read my book, got to work, ate a Lara bar, had some cashews and walnuts. Because who wants a fucking donut when you can have healthy fats? So sitting at my desk, waiting for my assignment. And yeah, that's basically my job. I'm like a detective, a homicide detective. Instead of getting homicides, I just get large cases from big companies to look through their emails and find things or not find things. So it's cool. I'm like a homicide detective in a precinct where there are no murders, basically, is how I define my job. But they give me good health benefits. And isn't that what life is about after 40? It's not about your dreams coming true or excitement or living in a city you want to live in. It's about just making sure all your bills get paid. Bills that you don't want to actually have, but it's about making sure they get paid. And then you consider yourself a good citizen. I mean, I looked around. Well, we'll get to that in a second, my transportation. So anyway, I'm at work and have my green tea because that's good for you, so they say. And then what else did I have? And then I had a kale salad, so I'm feeling fucking good. Day one, killing it. And then I said, you know what, I'm going to go home. I want to prep for the podcast, and I want to watch some Iowa caucus news to find out who's going to lose to Donald Trump while Adam Schiff is out there fucking throwing a perfect game for the Democrats and losing 40-0 to the GOP. I said, let me get home. So I got Penn Station. Penn Station, by the way, if you've never been to New York, Penn Station is a great sort of advance look at what we will look like as a society when, like, water supplies run low and when food is running low. It is the worst of society. It may not look like it. You know, most people would be like, oh, there's a lot of crazy people and homeless people. But the real, they're like the homeless people, no offense. I'm very sympathetic, but I'm just not in a sympathetic mood right now. The homeless people and the crazy people around Penn Station are more like the zombies in like a show like The Walking Dead, where you're like, oh my God, you got to run for the zombies. But any show like The Walking Dead, the truth is always that the humans are the ones you really have to look out for. And that's what Penn Station is. It's the worst. It's people at their most petty, cheap, like just shittiness. You know, people shoving and pushing just to get on their fucking train so they feel like they had a win. You know, because they already live in fucking Jersey because they got bullied into Jersey, or they can't afford New York, or whatever the case may be. Or their wife or husband just wanted a front yard. Whatever pathetic rationalization they have for living in this fucking densely populated fucking dipshit state. It's like they got to get a win. So their win is to shove people out of the way or sprint down the stairs and like bump you out of the way and get a seat. That's the win. That's the win for people in New Jersey, is to fucking get a primo seat on New Jersey Transit that like 8 obese people are going to have to sit next to you anyway. Or some, you know, as I scan the masses of everybody just on their fucking cell phones, Instagramming, pick up a fucking book, New Jersey Transit. It might not be such a collection of shitty people. And by the way, fuck Chris Christie for not, for rejecting the Obama money, the black funds is how the GOP would probably think of it. He had to reject Obama funds that would have built a new tunnel, and now Trump won't do it because Jersey and New York don't like him because there are still some people who read and have brains in these states. So, but anyway, I digress. This wasn't going to be about him. But Chris Christie is a fat piece of shit. Thoughts and prayers out to Rush Limbaugh, who's got lung cancer. Who'd have thought somebody spewing fucking hateful poison from their mouth and their throat, and the breath, the air they breathe being used to spew hate and division. Who knew that that poison would actually come back to give him cancer? And I know people say, hey, you know, I saw conservative Twitter going, can't wait for the compassionate libs to start like wishing ill on him. It's like, I love that. That's where we're at. The lack of self-awareness in the conservative community. You fucking worship hate mongers. And then as soon as something happens to them, you demand turning the other cheek from the left. Fuck off. Opioid addicted fat fuck. Is he from Jersey, by the way? So anyway, back to New Jersey Transit, which is really the cause of this. So I get on I get to Penn Station. Okay, just watching a bunch of corporate VP Negans walking around, and every train is delayed because there's a train stalled in a tunnel. So I'm like, oh fuck, and they're like, delay's up to 25 minutes. I go, okay, I can wait 25 minutes because I wasn't even gonna leave work this early, so it's okay. I'm here at 5:30. If we leave at 6, that's okay, no problem. Still time to prep the pods and watch some caucus news. So we're waiting. Some trains get called. Okay, not my train. 6:10, about 40 minutes late, they call my train. I go, okay, well, they're calling the train, so obviously, okay, good. I'll still be home before 7. Get on the train. Fast forward. I get off the train in Penn Station at 7:20 because it hasn't fucking moved. I then make my way to the Port Authority bus terminal. Get on a bus to come home there, which is obviously crowded, and go to sit next to a middle-aged black woman, and I sit down, and I'm a big guy, admittedly, but I try to kind of shimmy out into the aisle of the bus, you know, so I'm not like fucking pinning this woman against the wall like it's a Harvey Weinstein audition. And she goes, oh, you know what, I can't do this because I'm claustrophobic. And in my head, I just said, ma'am, then get the fuck off the bus. What is this? You thought this was a tour bus for fucking your favorite band? It's not. It's a fucking commuter bus. How spacious do you ever get this bus that, like, me sitting next to you was just crimping your style and triggering you into having, you know, some sort of claustrophobic effect? So I just got up and she says, no, but, and I don't know if she was going to volunteer her. So she was like, do you want to sit on the inside? And I said, I can't fit in there. These buses were made, this, it's either the fucking 1920s trolley system for New Jersey Transit trains, or it's a fucking 1970s Greyhound style bus to get home. Because every day it's as if, like, okay, I get it. I don't want to live in Jersey and I don't want to commute. I don't want an extra 2 hours of my day being dedicated to doing battle with some of society's worst upper middle class human beings, but I do it. But then when New Jersey Transit fucking dry fucking shafts me once or twice a week, it's like an extra reminder. It's like a rubbing it in. It's like, God, it's fucking awful, you know. But it's just that reminder of like, oh, no lube, New Jersey Transit, no lube, New Jersey. All forms of transportation taking me in and out of this fucking state. Fuck Bon Jovi. Fuck Bruce Springsteen. Fuck them all. Fuck Frank Sinatra, right in his face. He probably fucking sexually assaulted women. There was no Me Too back then, but he had the mob to cover up for him. So fuck every Jersey icon, this fucking bullshit state. New York, New York, you're from fucking Hoboken, you fucking asshole. Baby blue eyes. Fuck off. The best you could do was to fucking bang Woody Allen's chick. That, you're a fucking hero, Frank. You fucking sang spoke. That's what made you a legend. Congratulations. Anyway, I'm in a pretty good mood other than that. So it's just get to Jersey and now I'm going to watch some caucus action. But it's New Jersey Transit. It's just this. I cannot live in this. If I'm still living in this state in 2022, it's a wrap. It's over. That's not a threat to do anything. Don't worry. I'm going to like wither away. I'm going to just, at least it'll make for good podcasting as I get further and further into despair, but I'll continue to exist and breathe oxygen. But I cannot live in this state long, because it's already a surrender. It was already a surrender of a dream and a lifestyle that I liked. And what was that lifestyle? Not a lifestyle of luxury, just a lifestyle of not fucking being on New Jersey Transit. That's why I will go to fucking Nebraska. I can move to Nebraska. I'm sure I can afford it. But New Jersey Transit cannot be part of my life. Period. But other than that, it's great. The Garden State. I don't know. That was my rant on that. Hopefully the Sinatra hive doesn't come for me. Oh, a fucking legend. Fuck off. I'll take Demi Lovato over Sinatra any day. Just, no, I'm kidding. Well, yeah, I would, but yeah, I know that sounds stupid, but that is also the truth. But I can acknowledge that sounds stupid. Well, she did good in the anthem. She did a good job. So I said I was going to talk about Bernie for a second. Yeah, this episode doesn't need to be that long because it's just I have a gig this week. Ooh, I almost forgot. Pete Dominic is having me open for him at Levity Live. So listen to this, guys. I want you to, maybe I'll do a bonus episode Friday night if I'm still mad. But go to Levity Live, which is in Nyack. And then to get home, it's going to be most likely an 1106 Metro North from Tarrytown, which gets into Grand Central Station, still the best train station in the city by a fucking 100,000 miles. It's a beautiful place and not run or operated by fucking animals who just turn the world. Penn Station is near Grand Central Station. Is like one of those old timey, like everything's like big and spacious. So even if people suck, it's just operated in a much different way that it's not like hell on earth to go get a fucking train at Grand Central Station. Penn Station is the fucking purge, but instead of once a year, it's like nine times a day. This is what I feared. I feared that Penn Station would really, really like accelerate my hatred of myself and life. And it is doing the job. So whoever conducted that social experiment, it is working. But yeah, so I'll get in around midnight on Thursday, having to get to work the next day, get to midnight Thursday, probably for like a $50 payday, which half of which will be spent on transit. And then get the 12:45 bus. Yes, another bus. Get the 12:45 bus home, arrive home around 1:20 a.m., get to sleep, wake up. Just due to self-loathing, definitely get up and run the next morning, you know, on like 4 hours sleep, probably puke or some sort of cardiac event will probably occur on Friday morning when I'm running. But that's just something to look forward to. So bonus pod potential for Friday night. So yeah, if you live near Nyack, feel free to come see Pete Dominic headline. I'll be opening for him at Levity Live. So that'll be fun, I suppose. Yeah, that's all true. I mean, mate, you know, give this podcast 5 stars on iTunes, please. Whatever. I used to have like 105 reviews or ratings. I now have 10 on the rebooted version. So obviously, if you haven't given me 5 stars, give me 5 stars. But if you don't, it's okay, because who really gives a shit? What's the point of any of this? And Making Podcasts Great Again continues, although obviously with Trump being a vile piece of shit, I know I said I was ending the podcast in 2020, but it could end sooner because there's such a moral dilemma doing a podcast of this guy. It's like, as I've joked before, it's like having a great impression of Hitler in 33. You're like, okay, at some point we got to just turn this shit off because it's not working, but it's still a good show. Like I do a good show. But and I do have a Trump album coming out. We recorded it, and I'm assuming it'll probably come out sometime, maybe the end of this month. just in time for the end of Black History Month. And it's also, like I said, it's very funny. Like, we really fucking crushed it. But, you know, long term, I can't keep doing this Trump shit. It's a waste of time, and it's also a waste of energy and sort of sanity and just good energy. Not that I'm one of these fucking spiritual. I'm a Catholic, which means I'm not spiritual at all. I just like the ritual and the self-hate of it all. No, I like, for the most part, being Catholic. That's just a joke. But I'm not, when I say I'm not spiritual, I just mean I'm not one of those spiritual chicks that hails themselves as spiritual. But it's not good for the soul, this impression, and kind of just even making light of this guy, it doesn't feel appropriate, or as it's approaching inappropriate. But yeah, it's I don't know. I did have a breakthrough though this weekend. I really fucking crushed a lot of my pilot for the series I'm writing. Will it go anywhere? Probably not, but I still know that I'm funny and I'm a pretty good writer, so I'm hoping maybe it does go somewhere. I've got 6 episodes mapped out, so once the pilot's done, I'm gonna really done, not like done like I finished it. I mean, like, fucking a rigorous, I might have a read through with some friends. I really want to go through it rigorously. But then when I try to sell that pilot or get somebody to shop it for me, that's when I'm going to continue writing the other episodes, because I'd like to have kind of a nice 6-episode first season kind of deal put together. But that gives me something to fail at. But as long as I'm trying, I haven't failed yet. And it seems psychologically that's just enough for me to get by, is to go, I've got this thing. Will it work? Probably not. But I won't know till I actually fail. So right now, I'm just in the process of trying. Will it fail? Most likely, but it hasn't failed yet. And that's about the only optimism you can get from a bitter, talented, failed stand-up comic who is now living in New Jersey. That's what you can get. So that's cool, I guess. Bernie, people. And then I'll let you go. So I told you about my show. I told you to listen to Making Podcasts Great Again. Give me 5 stars on iTunes, just so I don't feel like my podcast at least feels like the way it used to be. You know, like, hey, we used to be a mildly popular show with some insight with 103 ratings. Now I'm a intense, introspective show with only 10 ratings. So go give it 5 stars. It costs you nothing. Nothing I do. The only thing that'll cost you money is the Trump album, and that'll probably be like $5, or you'll stream it on some site and I'll get 8 cents. So, Bernie, people, and then I'll let you go, because I've got a fucking splitting headache. It's almost like, it's almost like sleeping 4 hours a day is not good for you. But Bernie, people, because when I watched Joker, I thought to myself, I'm like, wow, he's like a combination of Bernie fans and Trump fans. It's like he needs health insurance and medical care, but, you know, because of budget cuts, he doesn't get it. So there's your Bernie point. He has a lot of trouble with black women in the movie. Spoiler. That's a Trump thing. He hates the rich. That's a Bernie thing. His fan base is aggressive white males. That's both of them. And what was the other thing? Oh, God. There was one other. I tweeted it. So go fucking look up the tweet. Who gives a shit? But Trump, I couldn't be clearer on how I feel about him and his supporters. But Bernie's starting to really get on my nerves, because the thing they seem to share in common, and I see it on Twitter with Bernie people, these guys love to be victims. The common thread between Bernie and Trump is that, A, they think their leader has like special gifts that, regardless of legislative process or constitutional frameworks, they'll get it done because they are the chosen one. They have the right message, and therefore, even Bernie said it in that New York Times editorial, like FX show, where where they were interviewing each candidate to determine who to endorse. And Bernie was like, when I get elected, the overwhelming, you know, the people will rise up and want to do, like, in other words, he thinks he's sort of, he is leading a movement, but I think he thinks that movement will immediately go from like 41 million people to 220 million people just by the power of his avuncular, annoying New York, Brooklyn accent. He thinks it'll just metamorphosize the fucking people to go, my God, he's right. We should just do what he says. It ain't going to happen. He's going to fail. And I don't know. His Bernie bros, I don't know if they'll just weep in the streets or blame the system or demand the Constitution be rewritten, but I would be afraid that one of them would fucking go like the Yitzhak Rabin on him and be like, you have betrayed us, Bernie. Because they seem like very fragile fucking people. Just like the MAGA people, they all love talking tough. The MAGA people love talking tough, but the main thing of Trump is how they're all victims. How they've been victimized. Now they're being grifted by that fat fucking piece of shit. But they all love to talk. They all act like victims. Everybody loves to talk about the common enemy, you know, is always black people. Oh, slavery. Get over it. Maybe if you worked harder. Maybe welfare really hurts the motivations for blah, blah, blah. And this portrayal of black people is always, you know, I get it. There's been a lot of woke talk, and sometimes it gets very annoying in terms of labels and political correctness and people always finding new terms that you're not using correctly to be some sort of microaggression and things are upsetting. But like in general, let's not pretend like conservative people. We're so receptive to the idea that black people had been victimized horribly by this country. And only when the PC lib college students started making up terms in 2015 that they really just turned their back on the black community and their historic struggles. Give me a fucking break. That was the excuse. That was the excuse. The new reason. Like climate change. Climate change is going to go from it's not happening to it might be happening to it's happening, but it's not man-made, to it's happening, but it's God's will. What can we do? That we only need to get to that last step of, okay, we admit it, it's happening, but it's God's will. Let's just keep digging fossil fuels and making the Koch brothers rich, or the remaining Koch brother. So it's like, let's not pretend like it was the PC language that turned conservatives, the modern conservative Republican Party, away from the needs, concerns, and historical tragedies of the black community and immigrants to a certain extent. Although the business community kind of likes immigrants because they can exploit the labor. No, that's just the new reason to ignore the plight and the problems and the historical legacy that this country has with black people. So it's just the new excuse to defend the same mistreatment or omission of proper treatment. So that's the Trump thing, like, oh, the PC and they're taking, but nobody's more victimized, you know, and overtly talks about their victimization than Trump and his people about how they're forgotten. I guess when angry white dudes feel forgotten, it's real. But when black people feel forgotten, it's because they're lazy and don't like pull themselves up by their bootstraps. When farmers need welfare, it's okay because farmers, mostly white, are American. But when black people need help up, it's because of single parent households. That's it. Like, so it's the same shit. But like, the problem is white people are in power and Trump is in power. And so that narrative takes hold and people dig it. And they still think of themselves as super strong. I don't, as Craig T. Nelson once said, when my family was on welfare, we didn't ask for a damn thing from the government. It was something like, I mean, look up that quote. I can't remember the exact words, but that's the mentality you're dealing with. That when it's something for me, I'm not a taker. It's when black people take it that it's fucking disgusting and awful. Or immigrants. When immigrants come here to make a better life, they're taking. But when I get welfare or when I elect a guy who never stops talking about what victims I am, it's actually because we're so powerful that we get to talk about why we're victims. And that brings me to Bernie, where, oh my God, his people, it's almost like, do you like Trump? Do you like white male victimization, but wish it would had way less Second Amendment? Well, here are the Bernie bros. God, it's like every fucking story. It's like Pete Buttigieg gets left off a ballot on a poll, and the Bernie Bros turn into a conspiracy to hide Bernie's good poll results. They never stop seeing their own victimization. Like everything, Bernie lost to Hillary Clinton 44-5. Maybe it wasn't that bad. Like 50-30. I'm just saying, I'm making a sports analogy. 50-28. And they're going, my God, the refs had it in. This shit wasn't close enough for the refs to have it in for you. Okay. Sorry. But yes, that's the, oh my God, Bernie tells us that the system's rigged against us. And I feel like Bernie Bros like come when they feel like they've been victimized. You know, like what's your safe word? Corrupt. Do me a favor. Take away my voting rights. Do they see like hookers and say, oh my God, take my voter registration card away from me. Take away my right to vote. Rig the election. Because they're always, it's everything you read is always about victim, victim, victim. Now, of course, when they do it, unlike Trump, when Trump does it, it's something different. But when they do it, you know what it is? It's the system's trying to take it from us. They like that systemic corruption thing. You know, somebody's always taking something from Bernie voters. But it's the same. They're the flip side of the same coin. Now, if it's Bernie versus Trump, I'm voting for Bernie and giving him $200. Like, it's a fucking fact. I think he still has better policies and a better, and won't try to, destroy the Constitution. And I don't think he's, a routine sexual abuser. So all those things speak highly in Bernie's favor. Like, it's a no-brainer who I'd vote for. But I'm just talking about the fan bases, the supporters. It's this, they're flip sides of the same coin. They're all, not all, obviously, but it seems that strain of, like, white male victimhood that doesn't see itself as a victim is, like, the core DNA. You know how we share, like, 97% of chimpanzee DNA? I feel like that's the same thing with Trump and Bernie supporters. They share, like, 98% of the same DNA. Just one wants guns and the other wants free college and healthcare. But after that, it's basically the same shit. So this has been an incredibly angry episode, but I don't apologize. I don't care if you're triggered, libs. I don't apologize. Okay, it's just what I do. Okay, we're too PC. Too fucking PC. This week I'm seeing Little Shop of Horrors. That's the Broadway play of the week. I'm looking forward to that, but I probably won't fit in the fucking seat, and I'll just be mad about that. Yeah, I just wasn't meant for this world, I think. I think it's time for me to go. Just kidding, just for this week. It's time for me to go this week, not for me to go permanently. J-Lo was awesome at the halftime show. I'm not gonna lie, I have continued to not watch the NFL, and I have not missed it at all, but I've watched two of the last three Super Bowls. I have to come clean to you guys, even though I stand with Cap. It just feels like I hate to say this, maybe it's just as a commentator, as a comedian, as just somebody who likes popular culture, it's too big between the commercials, the halftime, and the game itself. It just feels like it's too big for me to miss. I'm not even watching it as like I love football. It's more like it's this event. And my building was having a party, so I kind of watched it down there for half of it. So I felt like I wasn't at least giving like extra ratings to the game. But I will continue to not watch next year just because I prefer to do other things with my Sundays. Like prayer. You ever heard of it? But yeah, that's okay. Now, you know what, guys? This may have seemed like a cry for help, and maybe it was, but I do feel better now. This was like a purging. So maybe you guys, you helped me with that. You let me get that out of my system. So sorry. I hope you laughed a little bit. You had to at least laugh at me shitting on Frank Sinatra. That felt good. That felt almost Bill Burr-esque. So I'm sure there were a couple of highlights in this, but even though I'm more calm now, what you heard from me is the real me. That was me letting it out. And now I'm going to just suppress it till my next quarterly bonus. I'm just going to suppress it and pretend like I'm happy, you know, just sort of retreating back into a boring just too much commuting, dealing with annoying people all the time existence. So, yeah. So hashtag Jersey strong. I guess that's it. There's nothing else for me to talk about. Fuck it. I'll give you guys a shorter episode. That's good. You don't really want an hour of that anyway, right? You got the New Jersey venom followed by some critiques of Bernie and Trump supporters. I almost left Trump completely alone, but I had to take a shot or two at him because he's awful. So that's it, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me get that off my chest. Hopefully I'll be a lot happier. No, that's not going to happen. Hopefully I'll present a happier persona next week on the show. But this was a bad day. This was a very bad day, and it just highlighted a lot of my frustrations with some of the life choices I've made in the last 6 to 7 months. So other than that, though, things are peachy keen. So I'm going to go eat a peanut butter sandwich and have a glass of water for my dinner. Because I'm trying to avoid the chips and the cookies that I usually eat. So the chips and the cookies sounded like I'd almost had the Bill Cosby rhythm to it all. But, yeah, I'm trying to, you know what? The two things I can control right now are how much I write. And I really had a great weekend of writing, and I feel like now I'm in a zone with this series. So that's given me something to kind of focus on artistically, which is good because obviously I need some kind of outlet. When I was depressed in law school is when I started doing comedy. So obviously when I'm feeling down or feeling out of sorts, finding an artistic outlet is a good thing. So I found that, and now I got to keep running and keep trying to eat well because losing weight and writing, those are two things that are in my control. The things that are not in my control, New Jersey Transit, bills. that's it. Those are two things, I guess, and a lot of other stuff, but those are the two things weighing on my mind at least. So thank you for listening. Guys, give it 5 stars on iTunes, and I will see you next Tuesday.